Praise the Lord. Welcome to our Friday evening podcast. God bless you for being here with us, with my wife Julie and Benji sitting over here to my to your right, my left. God bless you for being here with us. God's doing great things. He's doing great things. He's doing things. I'm telling you, he's doing things he's not doing anywhere else. He's doing them right here in this little spot in Loganville, Georgia. We get up excited every single day to see what God's going to do. And we're thanking God every day that he's doing it. So we want to talk just a little bit about bringing Jesus back. And you heard that correctly. Those of you that's listened to me at all know that's the way we say it, bringing Jesus back. The Word of God says in Peter, Peter was writing in his epistles, and he said we have to look for, because if you're looking for something, that changes how you do things. Correct? If you're looking for something, you're doing things, your life has changed because you're looking for it. But he didn't say just look for it. He said looking for and hastening. Hastening means you do something to make it happen quickly or quicker. That's what that word means. And those are two things that, particularly the hastening part, that no one on the earth is doing. There are things that God requires are not to be done before he will send Jesus back. And just very quickly, this is not what this podcast is about. We've done other podcasts about this. I've ministered on it many times. But I do want to say, if you go through the Word of God and you go and read the writings of Peter, of Paul, of James, you go read what they wrote in the New Testament, you get the clear picture through various scriptures that they expected Jesus to come back in their lifetimes. And I think even people that read it and see that, and that don't believe it, they have a hard time disputing. Well, clearly they, and I always say to them, did you think that Paul was wrong? Do you think that Paul, with the revelation God gave him, that he was just wrong? That because if he got that wrong, then maybe he got some of the other stuff wrong as well. And you know, they don't understand that that Paul did actually believe Jesus was coming back quickly. You can't dispute the scriptures that he was coming back in his lifetime. You can't dispute the scriptures, but it's not that he was wrong. It's just that the church didn't do what it needed to be done. The remnant was not ready yet. And you also see that through Paul's writings. He was constantly trying to say, listen, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you living the way you're living? Don't you know that time is short? Don't you know that we've got things that need to be done? And so when that's in the Word of God. Again, it is without dispute. I guess people can dispute it, and they do dispute it, but it just makes them look very foolish spiritually. And you got to understand that they expected Jesus to come back quickly. In their lifetimes, they expected him to come back. So now we've set that. Again, I'm not ministering or talking about that right now. I've done that many times. I want to get a little bit more specific in our podcast today, this evening. I want to talk about something that I bring up that I don't know. I don't know if everyone really understands, and that is, I talk a lot when I'm talking about living holy and being the remnant to bring Jesus back. I talk a lot about particularly two people. I talk about Enoch, and I talk about Elijah. And I want to just kind of hit on that for a few moments for this evening's podcast. Why do I talk about Enoch so much? Why do I talk about Elijah so much? Well, let's start with this. When Jesus does return, and maybe I've said this before, I know I have in our services, but even our little girls, that's the last thing they say when they pray, when they go to bed, is come quickly, Lord Jesus. We're making this our life. Yes. This is our life.
Yes.
That's what the remnant on the earth today, that's their, has to be their life. But when Jesus does return, what is the major consequence of Jesus not returning? It's that there'll be no more
death.
Death. That's the goal, that there's no more death. I, in a recent service, I had everyone raise their hand and say, listen, you know, or not raise their hand, maybe is the better way to say it. I said, if you want to die, raise your hand. No one wants to die. But that, there's no fear of death. There's no fear in it, because we know if you're walking as a remnant child of God, there's no fear of death, because you know that you're going to be with the Lord. But at the same time, we want to, Jesus conquered death for us. He defeated it. He defeated death by coming back through the grave. And now we're waiting for that time where that is completely manifested in our lives.
Yes.
And the Bible shows two men as examples of people that never died. That is Elijah, and that is Enoch, meaning that they are our examples of how to live so that there's no more death. Death has no power over you. They are our examples of what God is looking for, because both those men God looked at and said, you don't have to die, which means they are our example of what to do to bring Jesus back, to please God. And again, you've got to be on board with the idea of Jesus will come back when God finds a group of people that are pleasing him on that level. You have to be okay with that. And that starts...
That's a big thing.
That's a big thing, because if you're not okay with that, then you're going to do what you want to do. And along the way, hopefully, maybe God gets pleased. But as long as you think to yourself, there's a set time in the future that Jesus is going to come, then you're going to do things the way you want to do things. And you're not going to get up every day and say, all right, God, what is your will for me to do so that we can bring Jesus back? And if you start reading the scriptures, everything fits together. Jesus said, pray like this, your will be done. Why do you think he said that?
Right.
Why do you think, what's the purpose? Even with the scripture where Jesus said, he said, no man knows the day or the hour of that the Lord is coming back.
That gets in too.
And he said, even the Son doesn't know. He said, only the Father knows. And so people, in their foolishness, they say, well, the Father knows when Jesus is coming back, so there must already be a set time. But do you not, were you not taught in Sunday school that God knows everything? He said, even Jesus said, the Son of God. He said, I don't even know. Why do you think Jesus didn't know? Because there was no set time. There was no day. There was no time when he was going to come back. The time when he's going to come back is when God finds a people that are ready for him. Does the Bible not say that he's looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle? Does that not make clear that when there is a bride without spot or wrinkle, that he's, okay, you can go. He's looking for a people of holiness, a separate, I'm going to say it again, a separate, I'm not stuttering, I'm saying it again on purpose, a separate people, that a remnant. He's looking for a separate people that is holy, that has come out from amongst them, as Paul said, is clean. You know, we talk a lot about the prophetic ark that God has given here. It was It is not seen, but it is as real as anything. And it is to create a witness. And I invite the remnant to come be a part of this ark, because it is a prophetic ark as a witness to show this is what God wants from his people, the separation he wants. And we're not trying to hide the ark. We want it seen. But we are going to be separate. Getting back to what we were saying. When God finds a people that are separate and are holy and a bride without spot or wrinkle, then Jesus will come back. And even he didn't know. Why? Because there was no set time. Mm-hmm. So now let's get back to our two men as examples. Enoch and Elijah. The Bible even makes it clear. It says before the day of the Lord, Elijah will come, meaning that Elijah does something. There's something about the spirit of Elijah that releases the Lord to come back. Even to the point of John the Baptist was called by Jesus himself Elijah, because there's something about that spirit that brings him into the earth.
I pulled up Malachi chapter 4.
Yeah, go ahead.
That says, when you said that, you know, you wanted to talk about Elijah, that's the first scripture I thought of, was Malachi chapter 4 in verse 5, where he says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord."
It's to me, the Bible makes it pretty clear. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about Elijah for a moment. Again, we don't have time to delve into putting all the scriptures and everything together. So just let me talk. You know, there came a time in Elijah's life where he literally, and I've spent so many hours teaching about this, all the different aspects of this. But there came a time in Elijah's life where he literally was in a cave by himself. And Elijah, this is after. This is not before. This is after he called fire down from heaven. This is after he prophesied there would be no rain until he said. And then he said it, and 3 years later it started raining again. This is after all of that. And even at that, he still found himself in a cave alone. And that's such a picture of today's church, because we're living in the last days of the last days. And if God does something, everyone is very quick to, oh, what a mighty God. Oh, look at the miracles. Look what God did. Everyone's very quick, but they're not consumed by it the way Elijah was. They're not consumed by it. And so they immediately go back. They immediately go back to serving the Baals, the false gods, as they were called in Elijah's day. They immediately go back. And you know, Elijah even killed all the false prophets. But it still wasn't enough for Elijah to not go to the cave and say, God, no one's listening to me. No one cares. I called fire down from heaven, and they still don't care. They still don't care. It's such a picture of God's church. Listen, we've seen it here. We've seen people receive from God the supernatural, and they walk away so easily and so quickly, and they all have their excuses. Well, we rejoice at God's miraculous power, but God has us on another journey. And they don't understand what they're doing when they throw that in the face of God and his anointing that he has used. They don't understand what that does to God. And they did it to Elijah. But Elijah found himself in a cave all by himself. And so when we talk about the remnant being in the spirit of Elijah, you know, we always talk about how small the remnant is. And it gets smaller every day. But the remnant is small. This is not a message about the remnant. We talk about it all the time. I wrote a book about it. We talk all the time about the remnant. But I do want to make this point that the remnant has to be prepared to be like Elijah and say, you know what? We did everything that we could do, and they still didn't listen. They still didn't understand. I still ended up in a cave by myself wondering why no one's listening to the word of God. I want you to think about that, that he literally called fire down from heaven. We're not talking about some story. He literally called it down from heaven, and they still didn't listen. And so Elijah was different, and he was willing to be alone. He alone stood on Mount Carmel and put the altar of God together. He alone called down fire from heaven, and then he ended up in the cave alone. We've got to be willing, like Elijah, to stand on the mountain. We have to be willing, like Elijah, to put the altar of God back together. And let me tell you something. The altar of God's been torn apart because it's been neglected, and it's fallen all over the place. And that's what this ark is about. It is about an altar. And we literally built an altar outside. Literally put this altar here on the grounds at the city of the hill as a sign that, God, we believe there's an ark here, and we believe that your altar has to be put back together. And that's what we're doing. And so before the great day of the Lord, the Bible says Elijah has to come. Why? Because Elijah was an example of what the remnant is supposed to be. And because Elijah, and this again, I don't have time to talk about Elijah on and on, but you need to understand that when God finds that Elijah, that Elijah church, that it will usher in the coming of the Lord. And the same way Elijah didn't die, then those people won't die anymore. Not because of the chariot of fire, but because the Lord will return. The Lord will. I don't know. Did you have anything you wanted to add on that? Or, you know, we talk about this all the time.
Right.
All the time when we're driving. We talk about it when we're eating. We talk about it all the time. And sometimes we'll sit there and we're just baffled. And we're like, how do people not see? How do people not read the word of God? But it's because people want what they want. They don't. It goes back to thy will be done. They don't want to please God. When God finds a group of people that please him, then he'll send Jesus back.
Well, that's the that's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about, and talking about Enoch. You know, there's a good paragraphs worth, you know, about Enoch, and about, you know, he, because his testimony, because he pleased God, and immediately after those words, in the same breath, is the scripture that every Christian memorizes at some point in their life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yeah, you're taking my message now. No, I'm joking.
Talk about Enoch pleasing God, and then in the same breath says without faith. And then even it says even a little further, talking about Noah, it says his faith and what he did building the ark and saving his household,
yes.
It says, by which he
yes.
condemned the world.
Yes.
His faith
yes.
condemned the world.
Yes. It was a testimony. It was a testimony against them. And that's why we have an ark.
He became an heir of the righteousness, which
yes.
is according to faith.
That's why we have an ark. Well, that's where I was going to go next with this, so I'm glad you got started on it. Jumping into Enoch. The Bible says in Genesis, it says that Enoch walked with God, and depending on the translation of it, you know, he walked with God and was not, you know, more specifically in the more modern language, he was not meant that God took him. That's what it said.
Jumping in here. I'm glad that we brought that up, because just a minute ago, before we got to the subject of Enoch and talking about that specific scripture in Genesis where it says he walked with God, that's the word I want to focus on, walked. I found a verse in the book of Amos.
Okay.
Amos chapter 3, verse 3, simply says, can two walk together unless they are agreed?
That's good. Yeah.
And when it says that Enoch walked with God, then if this verse is true, which of course it is, that means that he walked with God because they were in total agreement. Yes. Because they were in total agreement, God was ready to say, okay, you're in total agreement with me. I'm ready for you to just be up here with me.
Well, I think it was a couple of Wednesdays ago, I talked about Enoch and I talked about walking with God. And I said, you know, when it says walking with God, that is indicative of that you've given everything else up. You don't go and walk with someone unless you're walking away from everything else. That's the important part, which means you're in total agreement. That's exactly right. Can I add? Yeah, please.
Can I add in what you talked about?
Yes.
Just the other night about being in the yoke.
Yes.
With Jesus.
Yes.
That actually means like a yoke of oxen.
Yes.
And that you have to be walking, you know, side by side, going the same direction.
Yes.
The same speed,
yes.
The same intensity,
everything.
You've got to be in harmony with the person that you're walking with. And that's why Jesus says, you know, my yoke is easy.
Yeah.
My burden is light, but
you've
got to be walking in step.
Obviously, you were there listening to the message, but if you were not there, or maybe you were there and you don't remember, the whole idea of the yoke is not that it's not hard. Not that it is still a burden. Jesus even said, my burden. It still is a burden. It still is a yoke. And it still is work. It still is hard work. You say, but he said, but Pastor, he said, my yoke it's not hard. It's light. He said that. But you have to understand what he was trying to say. He was trying to tell the people, you can choose the yoke of the religious leaders, you can choose the yoke of their false restrictions. You can choose that, or you can choose to get in it with me. And it's still a yoke. It's still going to be hard work. But here's where the hardness is taken away. Because you're in it with me, and you're surrendering your will, you don't have a choice anymore.
That's the key, is the surrender.
That's it. You don't have a choice anymore. So I've taken away. You see, our angst in our life comes because of choice.
Right.
That's where our angst comes from. And Jesus said, I'm taking away the hard part of your life. I'm taking away the anxieties, the fears, the angst out of your life, because you're going to get in this yoke with me. I'm going to be in charge. And yeah, you're going to have to keep up with me. Yeah, it still is work. Yeah, we're still going to have to go and plow that ground. But I'm taking the hard part away from you. You don't, to get in the yoke with me, you don't have a choice anymore. You just have to stay up with me.
It's just obedience.
It's obedience. It's obedience.
Well, can I
please
add another element to it? Going to get a little historical, I guess. In our Western society, in modern times, I would say, and I've observed this. We all observe this every day. We are conditioned from childhood to reach for the stars,
yeah.
To take control of our own destiny.
Yes.
You can be whatever you want to be.
Right.
You know, so we're conditioned from childhood, especially in, you know, the Western culture, suburban, you know, I don't want to use all the words, you know,
that it's about you,
hot button things. It's all about you, and it's about I can get ahead if I work hard and I'm ambitious and I make choices and I.
That's right.
And so, this concept of biblical surrender does not jibe well.
No, it doesn't.
With the way that we've been raised.
But that, again, it all fits together. That's why Jesus said, you want to gain your life, you have to lose it. You have to lose it. He said, if you love your parents, your children, if you love them more than you love me, he said, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy of me.
And none of all those words that you just said, that is just doesn't go along well.
No, it doesn't.
And people don't even realize it. But you know, as we talk about it, you know, our eyes need to be opened.
Right.
Oh. You know.
Well, let's get back to Enoch. And the Bible says, going back to the old, where in Genesis, where it first mentions Enoch, it says Enoch walked with God and he was not. God took him. He walked with God. And we just talked about how if you're walking with God, that is what that, the word that it actually means, what it actually is describing is holiness. Because what it's saying is that Enoch set everything else aside to walk and only walk with God. And people have an idea in their mind that they're walking with God because they've gone and they've said a few words and they've been baptized. Oh, I'm walking with... No, no, no. That's not walking with God. That's not... That is getting in the door. That's getting...
It's one step.
That's getting in the door so that you can then get a new heart so that you can begin to walk with God.
Right.
That's what that is. So let's not play any games with that about that. But then you go to Hebrews, and Enoch was so important that he's now talked about in Hebrews. And this great chapter of faith, and everyone says, this is the chapter, the great thing about faith. Everything is it's about all these great things about faith. But possibly, not that we're trying to ascribe levels of importance, but possibly the highlight of chapter 11 of Hebrews is actually talking about Enoch, mm-hmm. where it says Enoch, it says he pleased God. So now we go from him walking with God to where he actually pleased God. And it says, and then it goes on to the scripture that you mentioned that is the ultimate scripture in Hebrews and one of the ultimate scriptures that, like you said, everyone learns. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is the salvation and that he is a rewarder.
A wage payer.
It literally means a wage payer. What do you get wages paid for? Your work that you do.
Exactly.
He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And wait a minute. Who is that scripture talking about? It's not talking about Abraham. Abraham's important. It's not talking about Isaac or Jacob. It's not talking about Isaiah. It's not talking about Peter or Paul. It's talking about Enoch.
Right.
That's who that scripture is talking about. It's talking about Enoch. And Enoch is set up not just because of this, but because he didn't die. And God is trying to say, this is my example of what he pleased me. Mm-hmm. Enoch made me happy. And because Enoch made me happy, he didn't have to die.
And because it is in the Bible, I really hope you take this to heart. Because it's in the Bible, it's not a story. It's a goal. It's a goal for God's people.
I hope everyone understands what I just said. God said, by his actions, Enoch pleased me. The Bible says Enoch pleased me. And because he pleased me, he didn't have to die. And so that sets us up to bring us back to Jesus coming back. When God finds a group of people, a remnant, Elijah was the remnant. Enoch was the remnant. When God finds a group of people that do what they did, are consumed by it in their lives, and are living without spot or wrinkle, then he will send Jesus back. And I want to bring it back to this. And I hope people listen to me, although I don't know if they do. But Jesus said, and people, they throw all their favorite scripture. Well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And they just totally ignore the pattern in the Word of God. Jesus said, and there are few who find it. there are few who find it. And people just want to ignore that. And they're just so sure that that's not how it works. And then there's others that maybe are saying, okay, maybe it's few, but I'm a part of the few. And I look at them and I'm like, no, you're not living like Elijah. No, you're not. It baffles me the confidence that some people have. And it's false confidence. It's not God confidence. It's false confidence. And that's why I keep going back. It's been maybe a couple of weeks since I've mentioned it. But that's why I keep going back to that particular message I read months ago from A.W. Tozier. Because Tozier, he said he came to this, and most people know his name at least. But he came to this moment in his ministry. He lived, you know, he was 60, 70 years ago. But he came to this moment, he was preaching, and he said, I've realized that the message in the Word of God is about the remnant. He said, and I realized that all these people that are going to church, that they're not actually going to heaven. He said, and this is where really the point. He said, I realized that most of the church world just takes things for granted. They just take for granted they're going to heaven. They've been taught to take it for granted. They've been taught to say, oh, well, you know, once I say a couple of words and have some water thrown on me, I'm just taking it for granted. And he said, that's the problem in the church, the modern church. He said, they've taken everything for granted. And they have false confidence. And they have false humility. And they're not doing the things that it's going to take to bring Jesus back. And we're set out to change that in this place. God has given us a prophetic ark. And he's done it through signs. And he's done it through confirmations. And he's done it in a people that he has always used to do his work. And he's given us this ark as a testimony to say this is what God wants and desires from his people. And so kind of bringing it to a close. God will send back Jesus, his son. And there will be no more death. But it will be when God finds that Enoch. Mm-hmm. It will be when he finds his Elijah church. Mm-hmm. It will be when John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. What happened? Jesus was born and he came. Right. When the John the Baptist Elijah church separates, what did John the Baptist do? Where did he live?
Separated.
Says he went to the wilderness. He went out by himself. He separated. When God finds that people, then he'll send back Jesus. So again, I hope this message has touched your heart. And I'll end it with where I began. Do you want to die? Who wants to? No one wants that. But God's looking for a people that want to bring him back. There's no fear in death. But we've kind of used that as a way to not do anything. What we should be saying is, there's no fear of death, but we still want to bring Jesus back. Because we want to put an end to all this. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. Benji, give them all the announcements.
Coming up, once again, we have Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m. in person and on our online social platforms, which include Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and our website, coachurch.net or cityonahillchurch.net. And our online functions every day of the week include devotions every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online, Remnant 101s with me every Tuesday at 8 p.m. online, Call in the Remnant podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. online. And those podcasts are also available on Spotify, anywhere else you can get podcasts. Siri and Alexa can play the latest Call in the Remnant podcast for you. And once again, I want to invite you to join us on Sunday for worship, for diving into the Word of God and join us at the altar for communion.
Praise God. Well, God bless you. Remember, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, come join us at the altar. We're bringing the sacred back into the church. God bless you. We'll see you then.